murders now? They used to not be able to, all they had was just the fingerprint dust and they were stumped. All you had to do was wear gloves and you could murder 3 or 4 nights a week if you wanted to. Here's how easy it was to murder. Murderers used to write letters to the newspaper for fun. They'd be like, "Dear paper, it's me, the murderer. Things are getting a little boring over here, so here's a clue. What has 4 legs and loves dinner? A table. See the next murder." And they'd still get away with it. The Zodiac wrote a dozen letters to the paper, and they were just like, "This guy's some kind of mastermind. He must be wearing mittens or something. I don't know how he's doing this."
It's 7:07 at WRGN Radio, Hometown Radio Refreshed. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us here on this, what is it, Monday. It says right in front of me on a big screen Monday, but I still have to double check it to make sure it's right. Monday, and I've got the Movie Mom with me, my favorite topic, movies, as you know. And before, Nell Minow, let me introduce Nell first, because I don't want to waste time with introductions and saying hello. That's too much. I don't have that kind of time today to say hello. But hello, Nell. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great and very excited to talk to you about my favorite topic, which is movies.
All right, you wasted too much time already. All right. So, so before we start with the new movies and everything, just before we came on the air, we were talking about The Godfather. And I was telling you, I watched Godfather Coda, which is the death of Michael Corleone. This was Francis Ford Coppola re-imaging Godfather 3, which he didn't want to call Godfather 3. Paramount made him do it. And I understand why. It was a good marketing move.
Branding, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good move. But he wanted to do so much with this movie, and he wasn't allowed to do it, and he made some changes in it. It's really not that much different from Godfather 3, except the ending is different. Michael doesn't die in Coda where he dies in Godfather 3. You just see him there sitting at the end as an old man defeated because his daughter was killed. But Godfather 1 and 2, the two most perfect movie and sequels ever made in history. I don't think even Superman 1 and 2 don't beat Godfather 1 and 2. Agree or disagree?
Totally agree. They are magnificent in every single aspect. The dialogue, the acting, the casting, the music, and let's not forget the cinematography. Absolutely terrific. And of course, those are almost Shakespearean in terms of the epic drama of the corruption, the tragedy, these flawed figures. They're just absolutely spectacular movies.
And Godfather 3 was almost a duplicate of Godfather 1 with the operatic murders when the opera's going on.
Yeah.
It was almost the same thing. Yeah.
It's very tricky. You want to be consistent with the earlier film, but you want to have enough that's new. And that's why it's very hard to do a sequel. I often say that the odd-numbered sequels tend to be better than the even-numbered because the even-numbered sequels, everybody's still very excited about the first movie. You want to please the fans, but you want to have something new. And to be honest with you, nobody really understands what made the first movie so successful, and so they repeat the wrong things. Now, let's talk about some of the worst sequels of all time, and I'm going to tell you the worst sequel of all time, in my mind, which is Sting 2.
Not Smokey and the Bandit 2?
I think they both have Jackie Gleason, yeah. Don't they?
Oh, that's right, they do. Oh, yeah. Good for you for connecting the dots. You know, as good as Jackie Gleason was on TV in The Honeymooners, and I can recite the dialogue from all 39 classic episodes of The Honeymooners, he was not that good in the movies. The best movie he was ever in, he never said a word in.
The Hustler.
He was great in The Hustlers, Minnesota Fats. But he was in a movie where he didn't say a word. It was a French-themed movie, and I can't think of...
Gigo,
yeah. He didn't say a word in the whole film. That's how good he was.
But he was fantastic in The Hustler.
Yeah,
with
right,
Paul
he was
Newman.
Good. Minnesota Fats.
And I would say he was pretty good in the first Smokey and the Bandit.
Okay. You know what? I picture him so, he's Ralph Cramden to me. And when he's not Ralph Cramden, he's, you know. One more thing about The Godfather. I found out, I saw an old interview with Danny Thomas before they made The Godfather. And he was trying out for the role of Don Corleone, Vito Corleone.
Oof. Okay.
I know, Danny Thomas. See, we can't picture anybody.
Make room for The Godfather.
Yeah, we can't picture anybody but Marlon Brando in that role. And the studio didn't want Marlon Brando. They said he mumbles and he's difficult to work with. And
well, they're right about both.
I know, but the mumbling worked out.
But he was excellent in that movie. But to my mind, the movie is Al Pacino's movie. And he is Al Pacino, who has so, his eyes are so expressive. And the way that he sort of clocks the change in Michael from that sort of optimistic young veteran, you know, that's not me. That's not me.
That's my father. That's my family. That's not me.
That's my family. That's not me.
You know what you can see is, you know, his eyes are perfect when he's about to kill Sollozzo and the police chief. You see his eyes darting all over. He's thinking. He's panicking. He doesn't know what to do. And he's got to go kill them in just a moment. And his eyes are darting all over the place.
And we have to say a moment for Robert Duvall. I think he doesn't get enough attention for his incredible performance in that.
Right.
Movie.
He had a tough role because he is one of the family, but he's not one of the family.
Exactly. And I think he portrays that perfectly. And James Caan, of course, incredible.
Oh, the biting of the hand. And do you know Andy Garcia in number 3, which is Sonny's illegitimate son? If you can have an illegitimate son.
Conceived at that wedding, I think.
Right, when in that room, at the wedding.
Yeah.
He bites the hand, just like his father did. Just real quick. And do you know who they wanted for the studio, wanted for the role of Michael Corleone? They wanted Robert Redford. Because in
of
the
course
book,
they did, because he was the hottest thing in Hollywood at that time.
What a mistake that would have been.
It would have been. And, Al Pacino, and then, of course, bringing in Robert De Niro in the second one, you know, both absolutely fantastic. And, everybody is who's in that movie just nails it. It's, you know, that opening scene in the first Godfather at the wedding when everybody's coming in and asking for favors. That's, you know, every single person in that is absolutely great. And I will say, the third movie has its flaws, but Andy Garcia is tremendous.
Good. And he grows throughout the film. You can see him growing where he's the Godfather. The one little last thing. Now, if you remember in the first one, when Marlon Brando's in the hospital, a guy walks in with flowers, Enzo the baker. Mm-hmm. And he says, "I'm Enzo the baker. I'm here to see your father, you know. It's for your father." And he repeats it twice. In Godfather 3, there's a cake at where they're giving Michael the medal. And he says, "This is from Enzo the Baker." They got Enzo the Baker in.
Oh, my gosh.
He's not there, but they mention his name, Enzo the Baker.
Wow.
Anyway, enough with Godfather. I could talk hours on The Godfather. I just can't picture Danny Thomas as The Godfather.
There is no movie that gets quoted more than The Godfather. Now, I just have to ask you, before we say goodbye to The Godfather, did you see The Freshman with Matthew Broderick?
It was on Turner Classic Movies a few weeks ago.
And I watched it again.
And my wife watched it for the first time.
I cannot resist that movie.
Where Marlon Brando plays Don Corleone. He's not.
Yeah.
He plays the character and he looks
recreates the character for, and that movie is such a delight. That's a movie that my husband and I quote a lot. An A student, that's what my father says, you know. Have you been to Palermo? Well, then you really can't make an informed judgment. I'll tell you one incredible piece of trivia about that movie. I love that movie, and I will tell you one piece of trivia, which is that when they make a fake passport for Matthew Broderick, the name on the passport is Rudolfo Lispari, which is the name of the bad guy in a Marx Brothers movie called Night at the Opera.
Yes! Oh, that's great! You caught that. Very good. The Marlon Brando badmouthed that movie, The Freshman, and got in trouble for doing it.
He did. He said it was the worst movie ever made.
I thought it was great.
It was fantastic. The scene where he goes to visit Matthew Broderick in his dorm room. Love it. I love the whole, and of course the conclusion in it is, the way that it the twist at the end, absolutely delightful.
And that was Bruno Kirby, his friend.
Yes.
And Bruno Kirby. He was Clemenza in Godfather 2.
Right.
So they brought him back as well. Anyway, oh, yeah, I could talk Godfather. We'll do an hour on The Godfather one day. Let's talk about some of the current films in theaters. We get to the summer movies because The Fall Guy came out and you liked it.
Yes, I thought it was absolutely terrific. I thought, you know, they talk about four-quadrant movies. I thought it was definitely a four-quadrant movie. It had appeal to old people, young people, men, women, boys. I thought it was a love letter to the making of movies. It was a love letter to the audience who just want to go have a bucket of popcorn and have a lot of fun. And it was definitely a love letter to stunt performers, made by a former stunt performer, David Leitch, who did Bullet Train. You know, it's funny. I think that as a stunt performer who had to keep his face out of the movie when he's doing stunts so that nobody knows it isn't the actor, I think it's very funny that in his two movies, the Bullet Train and this one, he takes two of the handsomest people on the planet, Brad Pitt, and in this one, Ryan Gosling, and just scruffs them up so that they still are handsomer than ever. You just cannot make them anything but gorgeous. And I thought it was pure delight. I'm a little disappointed that it didn't do better this weekend. It did fine, but it didn't do great. And I hope people go out and see this movie. You want to see it in a theater. Of course, the romance is terrific. Great chemistry between Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. The stunts, you expect them to be awesome. They are awesome times awesome. They are incredible, particularly the one at the end with the helicopter. So definitely go see it. I'm definitely going to go see it again.
Did Lee Majors make a cameo in this one? Because he was in the ABC TV series.
Yes,
he
does.
Oh, he does make a cameo.
Stay into the credits. He does make a cameo. And they play the theme song from the original TV series also.
Yeah, that was in the 80s or the 70s? I can't remember.
The 80s.
Yeah, The Fall Guy.
Yeah. After the $6 million man.
Yep, The Fall Guy, next on ABC. I remember that.
Yeah.
All right, now we're going to take a break here only because I want to talk about Challengers. Give us a little tease because you did give it a pretty good review.
Pretty good is right. I didn't love it as much as some of the other critics, and I'll tell you why when we come back.
All right. So we'll talk about Challengers. We're going to talk about Bad Faith, and you've got Kung Fu Panda 4. I can't watch animation anymore. I used to love the old hand-drawn, but this computer stuff, and I'll tell you why in just a minute, what my problem is with it, and it annoys me every time. Things annoy me in life, but this annoys me. And it's like one of these things that, with all the troubles in the world, that could be annoying me. I'll tell you, this with animation annoys me. All right, Nell Minow, the Movie Mom. Just go to her website, moviemom.com. You get to see all the reviews. Movie Mom, one word, moviemom.com. Check it out. And by the way, if you miss any of this, you can listen to it again. We podcast the broadcast around 10 o'clock this morning. It'll be up there. Just go to wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever, and just type in Don Rosen Show, and you'll hear the podcast there. Just pick hour two. 719 WRJN. At 720 at WRJN Radio, Hometown Radio, Refreshed. I'm Don Rosen, and my guest is Nell Minow, the Movie Mom. Go to moviemom.com. And don't forget, if you missed any of our chat tip this morning, you can go to listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. You can go to civicmedia.com, WRJN.com. Actually, civicmedia.us, I think it is, or civicmedia.us. Download the Civic Media app. Go to Apple, Spotify, wherever you get them. You can get a podcast anywhere these days. Just go at 10 o'clock. It'll be posted by that time. 721 Nell is here. And let's talk about some of the movies coming to DVD or on DVD right now. I still buy DVDs and Blu-rays. I have Beta, VHS, Laserdiscs. And when I talk about my DVD collection, which covers a wall in my entire house, people say, "You still watch DVDs?" Yeah.
You know what? I think that's very smart. I'll tell you why. First of all, they take things off of streaming all the time. So if you want to be sure that you're going to have access to it, you have to have physical media. And the second reason is people just can't help themselves. When they're watching streaming, they'll stop, they'll check their email, they'll, you know, fold the laundry. But I think when you watch a DVD, you pay attention more carefully.
And I have all my favorite TV series. I have every Columbo episode, every Odd Couple TV episode, every Dick Van Dyke episode, every Three and a Half Men, King of Queens. I have The Life and Times of Wyatt Earp. I have Gomer Pyle, Mary Tyler Moore. I got them all. So when we want to go watch a series on TV like Seinfeld, I just pull out my Seinfeld series, and we can pick any episode we want with no commercials, nothing. It's just I love it. I love DVD and Blu-ray.
And no cuts, because they'll cut it on reruns.
I was going through, and Two and a Half Men was on one of the channels yesterday, and one of my favorite scenes was cut. They cut the whole thing out.
Yeah, and because they put in more commercials.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. You've just mentioned my all-time favorite TV show, which is The Dick Van Dyke Show. Oh. I can just watch that one forever.
And my favorite is Big Max Calvada.
Played by the producer.
Sheldon Leonard, Big
who's
Max.
Who's the producer of the series.
Yes.
And Calvada, the name, do you know where the name Calvada comes from?
Isn't it? It's a little bit
CA
of each.
Is Carl Reiner.
Yeah.
And Danny Thomas, they took parts of each of their names, DA from Danny Thomas, CA from Carl Reiner, and that was from each of their names.
Yeah, VA from Van Dyke, they took,
that's
too.
Right, that's right.
And they mentioned Calvada quite a few times on there, on the episode where he's at the reading of the will when he gets his grandfather's desk. Somebody wins stock in Calvada Oil.
That's right.
They use it a lot. I love the Dick Van and Mary Tyler.
The biggest diamond. Oh, after that doorknob? That's the doorknob? I know them all by heart, and I still watch them and love them all the time.
One of my favorites too, Uniums, when he sees the flying saucer.
Yeah, right. The flying saucer.
What a cast. And you know
what? And of course, the walnuts. Right.
Oh yeah, the from Planet Twilo.
But my favorite, my absolute favorite is anytime that Mary Tyler Moore says, "Oh, Rob," Snoopy Nose is probably my all-time favorite episode.
Yeah, right. Is that the one with the boat that opens up the raft?
Yeah, that's the one.
And that comes up on a few other episodes, too.
Yes.
When Dick Van Dyke is on the on that show where he spills the beans about...
Yes.
That is Laura being the reason for all the crazy comedy
bits. That's right. And also the time where Laura spills the beans about the wig, about the toupee.
Yes.
And has to go see Carl Reiner, Alan Brady. And he's got all the toupees lined up in front of him.
Yeah, all the styrofoam heads. Yeah. Well, boys, this is the woman that put you out of business. Oh, I can go on. We have to have a whole show on Dick Van Dyke
one
of these days.
I'm in.
All right, so let's talk about Kung Fu Panda 4, and I'm going to tell you what my problem is with animation today.
Okay.
Now, it's hard to explain, but when the characters talk, their heads jut forward. Their eyes open super wide, and they move their whole body and heads forward. You ever notice that in the film? When they say...
No.
Oh, next time watch it. All their heads go forward in the new animation. They have to be moving, and they put their whole body forward, including their heads, with their eyes super wide open. And nothing annoys me more than that. Not the war going on in the Middle East, not the elections going on between Trump and Biden, not the stuff going on college campuses. This annoys me.
Okay.
So Kung Fu Panda, you like Kung Fu Panda 4, right?
You know what? Kung Fu Panda 4 was great. I had a problem that I want to explain with Kung Fu Panda 3. You know, people, as you know, I write as the movie mom, and of course I let parents know if there's any concerns about language or violence or whatever. But the thing that really annoyed me about Kung Fu Panda 3, which I think would just go right past most families, is the incredibly insensitive portrayal of adoption. And for a lot of families, that one is really, literally going to hit home. And in Kung Fu Panda 3, before we get to 4, in Kung Fu Panda 3, the panda, of course, is adopted. His father is a stork, I think. And he discovers his biological family. And it's like he just says goodbye to the stork who raised him. And he's so excited about meeting other pandas. And I thought it was handled very badly. So I was a little reluctant to come to see Kung Fu Panda 4. I didn't know how they were going to move forward from that. Well, it turns out the two fathers are now best friends, which I thought was actually quite nice. And that's a small part of the movie, but it's I thought it was well handled. On the other hand, the rest of the movie I thought was exceptional. I think it's one of the best in the series. And they bring in Awkwafina, who is just the utility infielder on every animated movie, as she should be, because she's got such a great voice. And she comes in as a new character, and I think the idea is that her character is going to take over in the series, and Kung Fu Panda is going to retire. Jack Black is going to retire from the series, although he says it's his favorite role of all time.
Yeah, because he's working.
So, okay, well, he's working pretty much all the time, but yeah, he loves that character. Nevertheless, so Awkwafina joins the cast. She's great, and you know, I always say that movies like this and superhero movies, it's all about the villain. How good is the villain? That's what makes the story. We already know the hero. Who is the villain? I'm sorry, they've got Miss Viola Davis as the bad guy in this, and she is sublime. She is just a fantastic villain. The way she's conceived, and of course the voice performance, absolutely great. So I did think that Kung Fu Panda 4 was a great, great family movie.
That's what made the Disney animated film so great. They had great villains.
Oh, you cannot have a better villain than Cruella de Vil. She's got to be the worst villain in the history of movies.
She's a puppy killer. She kills puppies.
I have to tell you, in the I live in Washington, and in the Washington Post, we have a humor columnist who did a great column this week as Cruella de Vil complimenting Kristi Noem for being, one of the group. And she says, because Kristi Noem killed her dog, so she says, I've got your back, as long as that back is covered with beautiful puppy fur.
I know, she's a puppy killer.
Yeah.
And I got to take a quick break here, but the villains in Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella.
Maleficent.
I mean, they're every one of these Disney films had to have a great villain.
Yes, The Little Mermaid.
Oh, Little Mermaid,
villain.
Too. Yeah. All right, we're talking to Nell Minow, the movie mom. Yes, we'll get to the summer movies, I promise. I want to ask her about Blood and Honey, the Winnie the Pooh movie, as she's seen it.
No.
I got to ask you about that, because I haven't met a single human being that's seen it yet.
Okay.
They're making Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 3, so I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about that. WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed. You keep it here. Don't move. With somebody, Whitney Houston. Nell Minow, the movie mom, is here. What do you think of the movie I Want to Dance with Somebody, the biopic of Whitney Houston?
Well, biopics always fall into the same traps. And generally speaking, and in this case also, I think the documentary is better than the feature film. So there's a terrific, very sad documentary about Whitney Houston, of course, very sad life, and I think that's better than this. You know, they do their best. But it's very hard to do a biopic of a musician. You know, you always have that kind of behind the music cliche, where they nobody believes in them, and all of a sudden there's a big audience that's, applauding them, and then, a descent into sadness. So it's hard to get past that.
Okay, this is the last thing before the summer movies. Dumb Money. I wanted to see this movie so badly. And now it's on a DVD, you say, right?
Yeah, it is. I absolutely loved it. I mean, it's a crazy true story about how a group of just individuals took down some of the biggest money on Wall Street. And it's a fantastic cast. Nick Offerman, Paul Dano, and Pete Davidson. It's just America Ferrara. It's just great, and it's so smart. You know, in my other life, when I'm not watching movies, I'm a lawyer specializing in finance, and so I already knew a lot of the facts. But this is unlike, say, the biopic-type movie. This takes one incident. It explains everything that went on. And it's the ultimate David and Goliath, because you've just got one guy sitting in his basement saying, you know what, there's a stock that I like that I think the market is wrong about, and not knowing that all the big money on Wall Street was betting against the stock, betting that it was going to go down. And it is just a remarkable, fun, smart movie. I definitely recommend Dumb Money, Smart Movie.
What was the movie with, what's his name? Brad Pitt played in it along with, it was about Wall Street again. It was a true story.
The Big Short, one of my all-time favorites.
We saw,
love that movie. I've seen that movie three times.
Me too.
Love it.
We saw it in the movie theater, then we saw it twice. We watched the DVD twice in a row.
Yeah,
what a
and
great.
Brad Pitt is always great in that. Brad Pitt always great in Moneyball. Another true story. Both of those movies based on books written by Michael Lewis.
Well, who was the star of the Big Short? The guy played Batman. What's his name?
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. Yeah, and now a child actor who did well, by the way, too.
Yes, a child actor who did very, very well, and Steve Carell also amazing in that movie. Jeremy Strong is in that movie. Just Ryan Gosling is in it. It is just an A+ movie. One of my all time favorites.
And buy water. that's what we found
that's what
out.
That guy's buying now. Yep.
Buy water. Okay, the summer movies. What do we have to look forward to? The summer movies started with The Fall Guy, but give us the rundown.
All right. First, I'm going to do in three different categories, okay? First one is sequels, prequels, and remakes, okay? And the big one there has got to be Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. We first met the character of Furiosa, played by Charlize Theron in the last Mad Max movie. And I guess in the prequel, we're going to find out how she got the prosthetic arm and what made her into the total warrior that she is. And Anya Taylor-Joy from The Queen's Gambit plays the role as the young Furiosa. She's one of the hottest actresses in the world right now, and I think that looks very, very good. We also have another Bad Boys movie with Martin Lawrence and Will Smith, Bad Boys Ride or Die. I have to say the trailer looks pretty good on that one. I will continue my history of not going to a Quiet Place movies with this prequel to how The Quiet Place got to be The Quiet Place. Of course, John Krasinski's movies are about a post-apocalyptic world where creatures that are blind but incredible hearing are destroying humanity, so you cannot make any noise whatsoever. We're going to find out how that all began. I don't think I really want to do that.
Well, you didn't like the I love the Quiet Place movies.
Don't like super scary movies. Now, Beverly Hills Cop 4? Are you in the mood for Beverly Hills Cop 4?
Axel Foley,
and I'm really happy that they're bringing back John Ashton and Judge Reinhold and even Bronson Pinchot for this one. So I hope that will be fun.
And Eddie Murphy is Axel Foley.
Of course, yeah. Eddie Murphy as well.
We didn't mention his name.
The one that I think is really intriguing is Twisters. You know, when you think about the original movie Twister, mostly what we remember is the flying cow.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So Glenn Powell, who is having a year, by the end of this year, Glenn Powell is going to be one of the biggest stars in the world. He was in the surprise hit Anyone But You in January. You might remember him last year. He was in the Top Gun movie, and he's in a couple of movies this summer, and he's absolutely terrific. So he's in this one, and Daisy Edgar Jones, Anthony Ramos, who's in Dumb Money as well. That one looks like it's going to be amazing. And then we also have another Alien movie. And this one is, if you're following the Alien series, this one takes place between the first film and the second film. So it's both a prequel and a sequel. Yeah.
You know, there's a movie coming out called Horizon, an American Saga Part 1 with Kevin Costner. This is a trend I don't like, the Part 1s, Part 2s. I don't like having to go back to the theater a year later to watch Part 2.
I know. One of the things that when I was looking at the movies opening this summer, I thought we were going to get Mission Impossible 2, which left us with a real cliffhanger last year, but apparently not coming out till later in the year. Okay. For kids, for families this year, in the summer, we've got some really great stuff. John Krasinski having a very big summer. He's got two big movies coming out. Not only the original Quiet Place, the prequel to The Quiet Place, but also this one looks really good. It's called If, as in IF, which stands for Imaginary Friend. And it's about a guy who can see all the imaginary friends that children have had and outgrown that are still sort of wandering around looking for something to do. Now, I had imaginary friends when I was a child. They say, I've read up on this, they say that usually only children and oldest children have imaginary friends because younger kids have real other children in the house and they don't need to make them up. But yes, I had two birds that were my imaginary friends, and I'm looking forward to this. Everybody is in this movie. Everybody. Because they're all the voice talent for all of the different imaginary friends. So listen, it's got Ryan Reynolds, Steve Carell, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., who recently died. We're looking forward to hearing his voice again. Emily Blunt, of course, married to John Krasinski. Matt Damon, Maya Rudolph, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, and of course, Awkwafina. So everybody is in this movie, and it looks like it's just tons of fun.
So I'm watching The Office yesterday on TV, which is one of those, I know all the episodes, but they had a commercial break, and John Krasinski was on there with Steve Carell rehearsing the movie If. So John Krasinski comes out and says, here's Steve Carell. I used to work with him at a time. I can't remember. I used to work with him once before, and he's the voice of, and they did the commercial.
Yeah.
But it's hard to believe that Jim, the guy on The Office, is one of the greatest directors, the most successful directors.
He's amazing. He's terrific.
It's hard to believe.
He's got, two movies out this summer. Now, I'm going to tell you a category that I don't like, that really bothers me, and that is I don't like it when they take these Oscar-winning women from the 1970s and they make them into cozy little, you know, book club type, you know, or old ladies go on a trip to Italy type thing. I hate those movies, and, you know, you'd think I'd like them because I love those actresses, but the scripts are always so terrible. Nevertheless, we got another one, and Diane Keaton seems to be in all of them. And we have another one coming up. It's called Summer Camp, and it's got Diane Keaton, Kathy Bates, Alfre Woodard, and Eugene Levy.
Yeah,
and it's about a bunch of old people who go to their summer camp reunion.
Brady, 80 for Brady was the same thing. They had all the
80 for Brady, exactly. I can't stand those movies, but okay. Now, a movie that I'm totally looking forward to is Inside Out 2. And I know, blah, 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 about animation. You don't like animation. But the first Inside Out was one of the most heartwarming, smartest, funniest, most delightful movies of all time. And I'll always remember the New York Times in their review. They always say, you know, rated this for these reasons and everything. And this one says, rated PG because children may be disturbed by the soft sobbing of their parents as they watch this movie. You know, it is such a touching movie. And Inside Out 2, we can all relate to it as our main character is going to high school and experiencing a lot of new emotions. Ennui. We're going to have kids learning about ennui and about anxiety and about shame and all those terrible emotions that you suffer. And then Despicable Me 4. He's not despicable anymore. We got to start calling him something else.
the character formerly known as Despicable.
Yeah, the character formerly known as Despicable. Okay, so Glenn Powell again. Now we're talking about grown-up movies again. Glenn Powell, the omnipresent Glenn Powell in a movie that that festival audiences are very excited about, so it looks like it's good. It's called Hitman, about a guy who's pretending to be a hitman. And here's one. This is how you do an old lady movie. June Squibb. You know who she is?
Mm-mm, no.
She was in the movie Nebraska with Bruce Dern.
I love that movie. Yeah, good movie.
Yeah, she was Bruce Dern's wife in that. And she's got a movie called Thelma about a lady who's been scammed by one of these people that call and say, I'm your grandson and I'm in jail. You got to send me money. And she gets revenge. And she says she did all her own stunts. So I'm looking forward to that. Clark Gregg and Parker Posey are in that. And there's another one I'm looking forward to. Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum in Fly Me to the Moon. Have you seen the trailer for that one?
No, but that was one of the movies on my list here. It's about two people who loved during the astronaut day, during the early days of the space race, right?
Yeah. Right. She's brought in as a marketing specialist because Americans are losing interest in the astronauts, and he's the guy that runs the program. So that looks like a lot of fun. And then, you know, we have to have, even though it's summer, you have to have a really heartwarming movie. Coleman Domingo, who was so incredible last year, both in The Color Purple and in the Rustin movie. He's in Sing Sing, which is based on the true story of a program in prisons where they have the people who are in prison put on plays as a way of sort of working through some of their issues. And a lot of the actors in the movie are people who have been in those programs. So that one looks amazing. I'm excited about that. Of course, are you looking forward to Deadpool and Wolverine?
No, I'm not a big superhero fan. I did like Iron Man, and I liked Batman, the Dark Knight Batman. Other than that, I'm not a big superhero fan.
All right, well, I'm looking forward to this because I do like Deadpool. It's going to be interesting to see a Disney movie that is going to be as much of a hard R as this one is going to be, because Deadpool is a very meta character who talks to the audience and does a lot of very outrageous things. And I thought Hugh Jackman would never put on those claws again, but apparently Ryan Reynolds talked him into doing it, so that one I think will be fun. Now, one of the biggest bestsellers of the last 10 years is Colleen Hoover's It Ends With Us. Colleen Hoover has been consistently on the bestseller list with up to 3 or 4 books at a time out of the top 10. And It Ends With Us is her most popular. That's finally becoming a movie starring Blake Lively. I'll tell you, the Blake Lively-Ryan Reynolds family, very busy over the last year. And it's about a young florist who falls in love with a handsome doctor. Unfortunately, he's got a problem of hitting her, and it's about what happens there. And then M. Night Shyamalan has got a movie that I have to say I was a little skeptical about, but the trailer really pulled me in. It's called Trap, and Josh Hartnett plays a guy who brings his daughter, who looks like she's, I'm going to say, 11 or 12, to see her absolutely number one pop star, somebody like Rihanna or Beyonce or Taylor Swift, and this gigantic stadium, and he brings her to this huge, huge concert, and then he learns that the entire concert is just a trap to catch a serial killer.
Ooh. And we have to take a quick break here, but M. Night's daughter also has a movie coming out, The Watchers.
Yes, but she's also, his daughter is plays the pop star in this one as well.
Oh, wow. I'm not sure. I've got something to look forward to. Does it star Kenny Dexter? Do you remember Kenny Dexter?
Oh, my gosh. That's a deep cut.
Okay. Hold on a second. The Movie Mom is with us. Nell Minow. Go to MovieMom.com to see all the stuff we're talking about. MovieMom.com. 749 WRJN. Hometown Radio. Refresh. More with Nell coming up in just a moment. Love, one of the great songs from one of the greatest movies, Back to the Future. And Huey Lewis actually in the movie Back to the Future. He's in the scene when they're at the high school for the Battle of the Bands thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're too loud. Next. that's his big line of the movie. All right, let's talk more about more of the summer movies. You mentioned as we were leaving The Watchers, which is M. Night Shyamalan's daughter's movie.
Yeah. That looks very, very creepy.
What about, I saw the TV Glow. I saw that listed on movies.
You know, I'll tell you something. I've talked to a couple of people who've seen that movie, and this is what they say. They say, you will never see another movie like this, and there's no way I can describe it to you.
Hmm. So I guess we can't talk about it.
No.
What about this movie Unfrosted that went to Netflix from Jerry Seinfeld?
I did see it, and again, that's another movie that's got everything. If you're Jerry Seinfeld, all you do is call your friends, and there they are. They all show up. So, you know, it's got Melissa McCarthy and
Jim Gaffigan. Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan, right, and Amy Schumer. Everybody's in it. I thought it, you know, it's, if I can just say, it's about nothing, but it's really, it's fun and silly, and particularly for those of us who can remember the 60s, I remember when Pop-Tarts came out, and I said to my mom, we wanted to have those. It's just very silly and very fun, and it has a lot of the props from that era, things that you sort of forgot. That you'll enjoy seeing again. I enjoyed it. I thought it was silly fun.
All right, I would like to see. He's an old childhood friend of mine.
Is that right?
Yeah, we grew up together, you know, going to each other's birthday parties. We were 5 or 6 years old. He was. Mm-hmm. We went to school together, and he lived about 3 houses from me. So, you know.
Wow.
When you all have birthday parties when you're 6 and 7, everybody in the neighborhood goes.
Everybody comes,
Yeah, a long time ago. I'm glad he
made. Do you have any home movies or anything like that?
Yeah, I got pictures and home movies, Want me to, I'll send you a picture. I mean, we're 5 years old in the picture, 6 years old.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
that was a long time ago. I mentioned real briefly to you, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Now, you don't like horror films. I forgot. Last time I spoke to you.
Yeah, I don't like horror films. And I love Winnie the Pooh. Why do that? It really bothers me as these icons go out of
the public domain,
copyright. You can do anything you want with them. And so, of course, what you're going to do, if you have no ideas of your own, is take a beloved character and make it into a horror movie. I did not see it. It did get the Razzie as the worst film of the year, and yet they're going ahead and making another one. And they've done very well for Fathom. I talked to the CEO of Fathom Entertainment. Absolutely fascinating story, because they just, the rest of the world is zigging. They zag. The zig is you put a movie into the theater and you keep it there until people stop buying tickets. But what they do is they make these things, these special events, a one-time only, and they bring back movies that people love but have never seen in a theater. When they showed the 85th anniversary of The Wizard of Oz and the 60th anniversary of My Fair Lady, you can't get a ticket. Everybody wants to go see that. So they've got coming up the 35th anniversary of Steel Magnolias, the 85th anniversary of Gone with the Wind, the 85th anniversary of White Christmas, Blazing Saddles. They're going to do the 50th anniversary. That's going to be a good one. And I love the fact that Fathom is bringing back these movies so you can see them the way that the studio intended them to be seen.
Well, Rear Window and Dial M for Murder are coming back, too, at the Marcus Theater here, but they're not going to show Dial M in 3D.
I have seen it in 3D, and it is an experience. Hitchcock did show it in 3D, but the 3D fad had faded, and so even in its original release, it was not in 3D. But if you know the movie, and it's one of my favorite Hitchcocks, you know that in the key scene, Grace Kelly is bending backwards as the guy's trying to murder her, and she reaches for her sewing scissors.
Yeah, to stab him.
And her arm comes way out, and I got to say that was really worth it in 3D.
You can in the 3D movies, you can always see, even though you're watching it in 2D, you can still see, like, the paddleball guy in House of Wax.
That's right.
Remember the paddleball guy?
And Kiss Me, Kate.
Yeah,
throwing things at the screen.
That I did see in 3D. They ran it on something called Select TV. It was one of these early, pay channels. Select TV, and you got the 3D glasses, and you were able to watch it. I have a couple of 3D movies at home on Blu-ray and DVD. I've got the Polar Express in 3D at home.
This is another very deep cut. Do you have 13 Ghosts with the special glasses?
No, I saw it when I was a kid with the special glasses. It wasn't 3D. When you put them on, you were able to see the ghosts on the screen.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Yeah. So
that's the only movie I ever walked out of. I was a kid, and I thought they must be real. If you see him with the glasses. So I said to my mom, I have to leave. And we left. Now that I am a grown-up, I actually do appreciate the movie, and I do have the DVD that comes with the special glasses.
Oh, yeah. And I've got, there was a Tony Anthony movie, a Western, shot in 3D, coming at you. I've got that in 3D, too. Yeah, it's not a good movie. But I got to ask you before we leave, only because I promoed this. Now, we've talked before about your dad. Your dad was Newton Minow. Newton Minow was chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, appointed by President Kennedy. And your dad came up with the phrase, TV is a vast wasteland. And
he did, and the anniversary of that speech is this week. It's May 9th.
Oh, look at that.
May 9th, 1961.
And he kind of put a lot of regulations on TV and the broadcasting industry, which needed it at the time. And one of the people really ticked off at your dad was Sherwood Schwartz.
That's right.
And
what did he do to insult him?
He made, and this is a true story, I assume.
Yes, it is. 100% true.
On Gilligan's Island, the shipwrecked boat was called the SS Minnow because of your dad.
That's right. It was an insult to my dad. And I have to say that Sherwood Schwartz's daughter and grandson have verified that on Twitter. And the Minow family is extremely proud of inspiring the sinking boat on Gilligan's Island. But what Sherwood Schwartz did not know is that the Minow family cat was named after another Bob Denver performance, Maynard G. Krebs.
Oh, that really? From Dobie Gillis?
From Dobie Gillis.
I didn't know that.
Who always said if the word work was mentioned, he only went, work!
So, boy, people really got even with your dad. The TV industry really was ticked off at him. But
well, you know what? Rather than regulating TV, what he did was he pushed for choice. He created PBS. He got the original funding for Sesame Street. He put the first telecommunications satellite up into the sky. So if you use GPS, that's because of my dad. And he also created the presidential debates.
You know, Newton Minow is a name that everybody, especially when you go to college and study to communications, Newton Minow, he's one of the guys you have to study there. And your dad just passed away, was it last year?
Yeah, a year
last
ago
year.
Today.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old was he?
Yeah, 97.
Whoa! And did you get to meet President Kennedy when he was appointed?
I did. I'll send you a picture of my family with President Kennedy. I got to meet Kennedy and Jackie Kennedy.
And I'll send you me and Jerry.
Okay,
a picture. Nell Minow, the Movie Mom. Go to moviemom.com, moviemom.com. This will be podcast later in the day. Hold on the line. Don't go anywhere. Hold on the line. It's 7:58. Catch you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. WRJN.